Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the fourth edition of the Trans-Pyrenees Race, supported by our race partners, Pedaled, Tailfin, Komoot, and Peak Design. It's registration day at TPR number 4, and around 100 riders are gathered in Girona, Spain, this year's setting for the race's start and finish. Tomorrow morning, they'll embark on a near 2,000-kilometre journey across the Pyrenees, taking in some of the world's most spectacular scenery and challenging terrain. But before then, it's all about getting registered, meeting other riders, and going through that final pre-race preparation. Hannah Lobalessier, race director at this year's edition of the Trans-Pyrenees Race.
So we're at registration today. We're at this pavilion in Girona, which is actually the home to Girona's basketball team, which are pretty successful. So we're going to be hosting our race briefing in the basketball court later, but at the moment, everyone's just stood around in this nice glassy room, and we've got bike check happening outside, and we've got all of the caps and trackers laid out inside. So when riders arrive, we'll direct them to each of these stations, and they'll tick off all of the things that they need to do to successfully register before the race. And we've got to that stage now where we've done all that hard work and all of the like nitty gritty bits to get the race ready. And today feels like that day where it's all falling into place and we're all feeling ready to roll.
For the riders, registration day is much more than simply marking their arrival at the race. There is a sense of ceremony to it, which includes the collecting of caps and rider briefing. Crucially, it's also an opportunity to make sure they have everything they need to safely begin their adventure. David Eyre, race coordinator.
So the registration process has a few different stages to it. The first thing that we do is we check their ID, make sure they are who they say they are, and also see if those riders are on the green leaderboard as well. So for those riders who have travelled to and from the race and committed to that kind of no-fly travel option, we like to make sure that we're representing that in all of our results and in the tracking. The riders then collect their cap and their tracker as well, so that we can identify them throughout the race and enjoy watching their progress. They will then have a photo taken by our photographer Liz, so we like to get a start line portrait of everyone. It's particularly nice to have the start and finish line portrait, so you can see the kind of impact of the race on the faces over the course of the next 7.5 days. And the last thing that they have to do is to have a bike check. So the bike check means that we do a safety check. So there's a number of things that the riders have to do to set their bikes up properly for this sort of race. So we expect them to have 2 independent front and rear lights. We expect them to have red rear reflectors. We like to make sure that they have their high vis and their helmet. And all of this really is to ensure that the race is both exciting, but ultimately it's safe, because that needs to be ours and their first priority.
Mid-morning in Girona, registration is open and riders are beginning to arrive. Molly Weaver, cap number 9, is one of many who are returning to the Pyrenees for another crack at the race. Race reporter Stuart Downey asks her how she's feeling.
Now nervous, but up until now really chilled, just excited for it. I don't know, I just feel really mellow, which is unlike me. I think I kind of know what to expect. It's not the same route, but you kind of know the general vibe. I've also just got more relaxed about this stuff, like, it'll be what it'll be.
What are you looking forward to about this route, having done it before?
I'm looking forward to not doing all the hikes I did last year. I've cut all of them out. I don't know, probably the Ray Pyrenean and doing it the other way around. That was really, like, epic last year. And because you're kind of on the, like, way home, and in terms of the race, you're on the same route as other people, so... Yeah, I just think that'll be quite cool. Hopefully there'll be a bit of like a battle between a few of us. Yeah. I think I'm the underdog, so that's nice. Like, I'm just going under the radar because Fiona's here, so like she's obviously by far the favourite. I'm kind of just hoping there's just a few women at least where there's like some kind of battle going on, and then, you know, whoever's the best is the best. But it's just cool when there's a proper race going on, yeah.
Esther Lloyd, cap 68, will be riding her first ultra distance race at TPR number 4. Having been inspired by Molly and some of the community's other more experienced riders. Hannah caught up with Esther to learn more about her journey so far.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, about your background in racing or cycling?
Uh,
the biggest rookie on the field. I started cycling just over a year ago, and things escalated really quickly. Got into Audaxing, found a really cool crew, did All Points North. I met Emily Chappell there.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh my goodness, I just read your book, and I was bawling when I learned about Michael. I've only just learned about all of this world this year. Then I listened to the Detours podcast, and Molly Weaver was on it. And she was talking about this thing called Transpyrenees, and I was like, wow, that sounds so cool. She's so amazing. Then I emailed you, and now I'm here. I know how it feels to kind of dot watch and then suddenly have someone become a bit of an idol or be this superhuman person. But actually, if you chat to anyone, whether they're like a TCR winner or whoever it is, they're always so humble.
That's the thing. That's why I love this little community as well. And I feel very welcome. And everyone's so nice. Like, everyone just helps you and tells you things. And even like bikes of, like, everyone tells what they're doing for their kit choices. And that's amazing. You don't really get that in many sports. Like, that doesn't happen. But yes, I'm still very nervous. I was trying to explain this to someone. It's like turning up to the same race as, like, I don't know, like the winner of like the Tour de Femmes, and that doesn't happen in sports. You don't race along the best of the world, and you're just there being like, oh, hi, oh gosh, you're amazing.
Ludwig Steiner, Cap 38, is another rider at TPR for the first time, though he's no stranger to riding in the Pyrenees. He spoke to one of our other race reporters at TPR number 4, Tom Probert.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, because I told you before, I was here a few years ago on traveling on my own from Perpignan to Biarritz. And yeah, afterwards I saw some stuff about this race, and I always thought this one I have to do.
Yeah. So you've been in the Pyrenees as a bike tour.
Yes.
How do you think it would be different being in a race?
Yeah, I think it's more traveling through space and time. You know, you're riding the whole day, so you see the different scenery of the night, or when the sun rises or the sun went down, and this is completely different than riding from 9 to 3 p.m. And then have a coffee and relax and are in chill mode. So it's different. It's both worth, but different.
You've got quite a lot of experience in some other races.
I wouldn't say that I'm very experienced. I did 3 races. But they were all off-road and in a different style, because there were the track that you had to absolve, and here is different. You have these checkpoints and the parcours, and I underestimated it a little bit, the planning before. So we have to think about a lot of going the climbs, a lot of altitude or more kilometers or hike a bike, or so it was more work to plan than I expected when I made this application for this race in last winter.
So I guess, as you've done all of those off-road races, are you going for a lot of gravel shortcuts on this one?
Not too much, but a little bit, I think. I think when it's worth, I try to.
With lunch approaching, things are starting to get busy on registration day. There's that familiar, intoxicating pre-race buzz in the air as the excitement builds and the reality of what lies ahead edges ever closer. Matt Brady, Cap 19.
I think in the previous couple of weeks I was just like, oh, what am I doing, as the training's not gone spectacularly well. But now, having met some of the crowd, I don't know. I know there's a guy who's done Transcon before whose name I recognise, but not knowing anybody on it, having met a few of the people and a few chats, all good. And it's sunny at this level, and it's warm at this level, so that's good. We're not starting in the rain, hopefully.
And what are your expectations for the race, personally?
Getting to the end on 2 wheels in the vicinity of the finish, cut-off times. Approximately near the cut-off time would be good. Getting over, ideally in the cut-off time, but I'm not going to beat myself up if it's not. I'm going to have however many nights and days looking at the scenery in the Pyrenees. So that's the highlight.
Have you ridden in the Pyrenees before?
No, not have I? No, not at all. No, all new. I like the mountains. Yeah. Not very quick up them, but I like them.
That's good. That's good news for what you're about to go through then.
I've had a mate following me on, it must have been one of the Transcontinentals, and he said, oh, I stopped following you. He said, I thought you'd stopped. I was like, no, it was just very slow.
Sophia Atwood-Appley, Cap 63, is returning to the Trans-Pyrenees race after choosing last year's edition to ride her first ultra.
I'm very excited. I think that's an understatement. I feel like since the race finished last year, it's all I've been thinking about every day for the past year, up until last month where I kind of forgot about it. And then now it's just totally snuck up on me, and somehow I've just teleported to Spain and now it's time.
And so you were in the race in TPR last year as well?
Yes.
And how did that go?
It was fine. I got round, but I didn't get round in time for the party. It was my first ultra, so...
Oh, nice.
I feel like I could do better. There was a lot of mistakes that I made that I have now rectified, so, yeah.
Nice. So you've kind of got a bit of unfinished business.
Yeah.
And you think you can learn from your experiences last time. Is there anything specifically that you want to improve on?
Well, the way that I see it, right, is last year I finished a day late, so if this year I finish a day early, then it evens out, and then I got back in the time both times.
On average.
Yeah,
nice.
See, law of averages. So that's what I'm aiming for.
And do you think you're going to be able to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got my spreadsheet. I know that's what I said last year, but this year I mean it.
So you're one of the, right, because there are different types of races, right, so you're one of the super prepared, everything's kind of like planned out.
Well, I'm an Audaxer.
Right.
Say no more.
Does that mean you've got it in a laminated pouch?
No, it's not laminated to save weight. It's it's within a glass screen.
Okay.
I'm a modern Audaxer.
Okay. So it is all digital at least.
It is all digital. Yeah, I was going to print it out and like stick it up at work for people to see, but apparently nobody cared, which was ridiculous.
Rob Hyde, and I'm Cap 82.
You're coming back to TPR for a second time, is it?
This is the second one I've done, yeah. I was here last year, so kind of excited. Girona start was pretty nice addition, and I mean, looking back on last year, it was great. At the time, I wasn't sure couldn't process it, but
yeah.
But yeah, excited about this year, and I kind of know what I'm in for, but there's also still a lot of unknowns as well, so... Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
So are you coming back to try and improve on last year?
I'd say, yeah, last year I was really out for the get round. It was like, just get round it, finish it, get to the party. And, I stopped for a beer a few times, took a lot of photos, all of that. So I really got the full value. I think this year I'd like to do it a bit quicker and, just see if I could push it a bit, really. So we'll see how it goes. A lot more off-roading than last year, so that's the unknown factor. So, we'll see how that goes as well.
Were there any kind of mistakes you made last year that you're going to learn from and you've kind of implemented in your planning?
I did some of the big long road detours when I could have done the quick gravel sort of sections, and I think I've kind of learned from that. And when I've got the quick option and it's not going to be like a lightning storm, I'm definitely going to go for that. And I think I went wrong a few times, couple of daft routing choices, and hopefully I've ironed those out this year. I'm a bit more of a old hand with the routing map apps and all that stuff, so excited. And I mean, can't wait. You know, last year I didn't know what I was in for. This year I know exactly what I'm in for, so I can't wait to be back up the Tourmalet and all the other classics. It was brilliant. So last year was a bit of a dread feeling. This year is more excitement, I would say.
This is the first time I've used Canoe. I've used Driver GPS and Strava last time. And Google. Have you seen
We've been here since the early morning, getting everything set up, ready to receive our riders, and they've been kind of trickling in a steady stream all day. The sun's really beating down here. It has been all day, and there's a swirling breeze that's kind of kicking up little mini tornadoes of autumn leaves in the car park just outside the sports centre. And we've got a large kind of huddle of riders who are all taking shelter from the baking sun, all kind of lined up with their bikes parked up against the front of the sports centre and forming small little groups, just telling stories of past exploits and also just reassuring each other and calming the nerves a bit ahead of what's going to be a big day tomorrow when the race actually begins.
Our race volunteers are an important part of registration day. For Caroline and Emma, volunteering is a possible entry point to one day taking part in the race itself.
Yeah, at our first Lost Dot event, just trying to get a feel for what the event is like, and I've got plans to maybe do it next year, or at least one of the Lost Dot races, so wanted to see what it was like.
Nice.
And well, it's a very steep learning curve for me. Caroline dragged me, I come from a completely different background in triathlon, which is nothing like this. It's not nearly such a cool vibe. It's just sort of seeing what else is out there, discovering something new, and being on the other side of an event, because I think we've both raced a lot in our in the last sort of 10-15 years, and it's a bit of an opportunity to just, like, do something else and be on the other side of the line.
I think we both know what it's like to be at the start line of an event that terrifies you, and we've both been in positions where we've been super nervous about doing things, and it's nice to be in a position now to try to help some of the competitors to feel a bit more calm and relaxed about their races.
Yeah, and if you've been trying to do that as well, then is that kind of part of what you feel your job here is?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's especially important to encourage the women that are racing. There's not that many, and I would like to see more women in general in sport, but I mean, certainly in ultra and bikepacking and bike events in general. So it's really nice to talk to some of the ladies that are here to race and to encourage them. And I think we should tell those stories and try and encourage more women into the into this sort of thing.
Yeah. Once the riders have collected their caps and tracker, it's time to get their bike checked by Andy, one of our volunteer mechanics.
So we're doing a number of checks on the bikes just to make sure that the bikes are safe and the riders have all of sort of the minimum equipment that they need. From the front of the bike, we check that they have two working front lights, a bell just for obviously any dogs or pedestrians, and then working back to the rear lights, again two working rear lights independent of each other, and a red rear reflector. It's one that always trips people up, and we've seen lots of white rear reflectors and also lots of people without them, so yeah, a lot of not frantic but searching around in bike shops I think to find a rear red reflector, and then helmet, high vis, and that's about it really for the stuff on the bike, and then just doing a quick check of the bike. The brake pads are looking good condition, they stop the bike, there's no sort of like headset movement or bottom bracket movement or even wheel movement. Just generally knowing that we send them off in a good way on a bike that, I mean, I'd happily ride on this sort of event. Nice. Ultimately they're going for 2,000 kilometres or whatever, so, and a lot of descending, a lot of braking, so the bike's going to be under a lot of stress for quite a few days.
For all our riders, TPR provides an epic adventure where they'll create memories that last a lifetime. But make no mistake, this is a beautifully hard bike race. Robin Gimperla, cap number one, is in Girona, fresh off the back of winning this year's Transcontinental race, and is one of the riders we can expect to see at the pointy end of TPR number four.
Yeah, and how has it been since the TCR finish? How are you recovering kind of mentally and physically as well?
Physically, I think it went pretty quickly. Of course, it's not possible to have the exactly same shape that I had at the start of TCR, because that was clearly the season's highlight, and now it's also a bit bit almost at the end of a season, so shape is a bit different, but still should be good, feeling good. Then mentally, it's hard to feel differences. It feels just normal. Also, it's not that I wake up every day and feel like, yeah, I want TCR. It's just like it happened and it's over and it's fine. So trying to also focus on what's ahead and not what lies behind.
Do you have any competition in this race that might kind of spur you on and get you extra motivated?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like at the beginning or when I signed up, someone said Christoph would be racing as well. This would, of course, have been super fun to watch. But this is not the case, as we know. But I heard now just a few minutes ago that Robert Müller signed up like last minute. This is cool. I like it. I think he's super, super fast on these kinds of events, especially if there's not too much planning involved. So I think he's excited to give it a fast go. And of course, there's also others. I mean, there's Omar Di Felice, who I think is probably in a great shape, or should be in a great shape, because he didn't really finish TCR and has some open or just some unfinished business. And of course, there's always other people that you're not focused on at the beginning of the race, and then suddenly they're there.
Robin has good reason to include Robert Müller, Cap 60, as one of his nearest rivals. Robert has been here and done it all before, winning TPR number 2 on a bike borrowed on the day before the race began.
I'm feeling good right now. I just decided 1 week ago to come here and do the race. And I've done a lot this year already, a lot of ultra cycling, stage racing, normal road racing. So I don't know if I'm fresh enough, but I just want to enjoy it. Enjoy the weather, the nature, the Pyrenees. So my mindset is similar like 2 years ago. I don't have any expectations. Just want to do my own race and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. You showed me a little hack you've made with the shoes at the previous race. Can you tell me about them?
Yeah, 2 years ago here in this race, I had wet feet for the first like 24 hours. And then my feet got swollen a lot. They went bigger and bigger, and then I had very hard pain in my feet. And after 3 days, I decided to cut my shoes open at the side with a screw I found on the road. And I'm still using these shoes because now they are so comfortable, like nothing else.
Yeah, the custom design, the Robert Müller custom design.
Yeah, with holes on the side of each shoe. Yeah, I won it 2 years ago, so I don't have to win it again. Of course, it would be nice, but I'm not stressing myself about it. Yeah, and otherwise, if I'm second, third, fourth, fifth, I don't really care.
Mm-hmm. Top 10.
If I want to do a good race for myself, usually when I'm able to do this, I'm on the very front. So if I do a good race for myself, I can be happy about it, no matter which place it is.
Leila Sabuti, cap number 2, is another rider here at TPR to compete in her first ultra race. She's also one of many green leaderboard riders who've chosen overland travel both to and from Girona.
How have you got here to Girona today?
By train.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. So you're going to be on the green leaderboard, I guess?
Yes.
Yeah? Nice. Does that mean a lot to you?
Yeah, of course. I worry about climate, and I do a lot like back at home. I'm in different associations for climate transition. I mean, transition and yeah.
And what inspired you to do your first race?
Actually, I've been traveling with my bike for quite a while, since like 2017. Every year I do a bikepacking trip, and when I did these trips, like every time I had some elevations, I was like, shit, this is gonna be so hard. And so one day I just told myself, like, you have to face your fears. So I decided to cross the Pyrenees in 2021. and I did all these mountain passes, and it was so great. Like, I fell in love with the mountains. And when I was on top of Tourmalet, I met this guy, this cyclist, and he told me, wow, you're doing this like bikepacking with all your bags and stuff. You should do the Transpyrenees. And so I thought about that, and I've been thinking about that for several years now. And I've just been like too stressed and too like thinking low of myself and thinking like, yeah, this isn't for me, like I'm not good enough. And so this year I just thought, I'll just try. Yeah, just trying is like a success. Just being at the start line is a victory for me.
I'm Andy Booth, cap number 79.
I'm Rob Booth, cap 95.
So I notice you've got the same surname there. I take it you're related.
Oh, yes.
Rob's my little brother, and he's a lot faster than me.
I think I'm not a lot faster, maybe just a little bit. But yeah, he tried to rope me into it a few years ago, but this time the stars aligned, so I've found myself in this position.
Nice. So you're the one that's convinced him to enter, eh?
Yeah, I've raced TCR before, so give this a go.
And what's the dynamic going to be then? Is it supportive? Like, have you been giving lots of advice and experience, or is it pure competition?
Piling the pressure on. No, it's been very friendly and helpful, but friendly competition, I think.
And what was your biggest bit of advice then to your brother?
Don't descend like an idiot. Ride safe. That's the main bit, to be honest.
And is that because you have the tendency to do that?
I've gone fast downhill a few times, but usually paved roads, so I think we're all right. Got enough lights to see where I'm going.
Nice. And who's going to win?
Overall?
No, between you two.
Oh, Rob.
Maybe not by much, but maybe. That's if I get to the end, so we'll see. Got to keep myself in check.
Yeah, but sometimes experience pays, you know.
That's what I've been saying. Yeah.
So my name is Oluwa Shelon Alaba, by like the government, my government name, and then everyone calls me Shelon. My cap number is 72.
Yeah, correct.
Bash.
You passed the test.
That's who I am for the next week.
Great. So you feeling ready and prepared to head off tomorrow?
Just riding a bike, man.
Yeah.
Just gonna ride my bike for a little bit, look at the views, have a non-alcoholic pint occasionally. And I won't get focused on all what's ahead of me. I'm just going to ride my bike and just try and finish it. Yeah, That's the objective. Don't get caught up in, I must, you know, get there on time. So, yeah.
You don't want to put too much pressure on yourself.
No, I don't want to, I don't want to like absolutely kill myself just to like get to a certain point when I want to like try and actually enjoy it for what it is. Because at the end of the day, I'm doing this for my annual leave to get away from work as opposed to like, put myself in a hole to like just for the sake of finishing like 45th or like 70th. I'm here to just have a nice ride for as long as I can, wake up early in the morning, and just also take care of my body, because you know I've got a health condition that makes me be quite conscious of what I'm doing.
Okay.
So just got to take care of myself and just ride and measures ride.
One of the beauties of riding your bike in the Pyrenees Mountains is that even when the going gets really tough, there is always another incredible vista or stunning landscape just ahead. And the scenery changes the further and higher you go, with each col, region, and even country, Spain, France, Andorra, offering unique problems to solve. Tia Pak, Cap 94, is riding her first ultra at TPR number 4. She's here for all it has to offer.
What are your kind of emotions at the moment? How are you feeling?
Honestly, I'm feeling a little exhausted, but very excited because for me it's the first big ride. I'm really excited because I love mountains, and that's why I really signed up for this race, just to experience the mountains, the wildness of them, the beauty, the pain, the everything. So this is definitely I'm looking forward to.
Are there any things that are particularly kind of worrying you about the race?
Yeah, actually I'm really worried about the rain and the cold. How if if something happens with my bike, for example, I'm a little bit afraid of that my tires are not grippy enough and I'm just gonna slide down the, you know, this little, because I don't have any other experience to compare it to. These are just very basic problems that I have in my head at the moment. But yeah, no, I don't think so. I think
you're well prepared in terms of like clothing and stuff for the elements if it starts to get cold and wet.
I hope so.
With the rider briefing imminent, race reporter Stuart speaks to Fiona Kolbinger, cap number 4 and previous winner of the Transcontinental Race. Fiona currently lives in the US in an area with few hills to train on.
How are you feeling now? It's just the one sleep in the race.
Slightly excited by now, I think. I mean, I think I told you before that my preparation has been very basic, I would say. I am sort of fit and I can run fast and I can ride my bike for a long time still. I did try that over the last few weeks, but I haven't ridden any hills since May or so, which was when I did another race in Europe. So I'm not specifically prepared for the Pyrenees and it's going to be very, very hilly. So I'm prepared to suffer a bit, but I'm also looking forward to just having, you know, that tranquility of just caring about yourself, the bike, eating, sleeping, and how far you're going to get. So it's good.
Is there anything in particular you're excited about at this point? Or
I've never been to the Pyrenees. I've never ridden my bike in Spain, and I've never ridden my bike in southern France. So it's all very new regions to me. I think the weather is looking very good. Looking forward to that, definitely. I think the nights are going to be cold. It's just, you know, like I don't think I'm particularly excited for anything more than just discovering the landscape, which is something I haven't been able to do a lot lately. So I'm looking forward to that.
With all our riders now registered and ready to go, it's time for the rider briefing. It's a chance to thank everyone for being here and to go through the race rules one final time.
First of all, just to say we're really looking forward to getting to know you all over the next week and hearing your stories on the road. And we just want to say a big thank you for choosing to do TPR and choosing to do this race, because it really means a lot to us. And just a final note, good luck. Please stay safe out there, but also please have a great time. We've really enjoyed developing and recceing this route, and we hope that you all enjoy it as much as we enjoyed developing it.
So we've had rider registration and the rider briefing today. How did it all go? What's the general vibe?
Yeah, it all went pretty smoothly. We had a really great team of volunteers there, so they were doing most of the work getting everyone registered while we were just doing some final touches for the race. I think the worst thing to go wrong was almost being rejected entry into the basketball court where we were hosting the briefing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But luckily, Thomas, who speaks, I mean, he's a native Spanish speaker, and he managed to communicate our way out of it, thankfully. Yeah. So all went to plan. We've all packed down now, and we're just out with the media crew having a few drinks and then heading for dinner. And then it's going to be an early start tomorrow morning. We're going to be assembling at 6:30 for the race, to start at 7, and we'll have a very short parkour out of Girona and into the foothills of Rocca Corba. And from there, we'll send riders on their way.
Join us in our next episode to hear all the action from day one of this year's Trans-Pyrenees race. We'll have two control cars out on the route, with race photographers and race reporters there to capture all the stories from the road. We can't wait to share them with you. You can read Stuart's daily race reports on the Lost Dot website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Pedaled, Tailfin, Komoot, and Peak Design.